This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to Street Knowledge. I'm Chris Graham. We're going to talk some UVA basketball here today on our show. We're going to broadcast this on Facebook, on YouTube, our podcast. We're going to kind of get out there and talk some UVA hoops as the Hoos rank ninth in the country now after a couple wins last week, moving back in the top 10. We'll head to Georgia Tech tomorrow night, Atlanta, for a second game in, about 2.5 weeks with the Yellow Jackets. We'll talk about that as we wrap up our show here. We're going to start with Coach Tony Bennett talking with the media on Monday, the ACC media teleconference now being done by Zoom, which actually I prefer. We get to see the guys now and see them and talk with them instead of just being on the phone. Tony talking about the interesting aspect of his team this year. Virginia basketball is, Tony Bennett Virginia basketball, at least. The vintage is built on defense. And this team defensively, if you didn't know the context of UVA basketball, you'd say, man, you know, you're complaining about being 25th ranked nationally in defensive efficiency in KenPom.com. What's wrong with you? Well, last year, they were the Virginia team was first. The 2019 national champs were fifth. The 2018 team that lost to UMBC after being the national number one seed in the NCAA tournament, that was a first-ranked team defensively. The last time Virginia ranked outside the top 10 in the KenPom.com rankings was 2012-2013. That was also the last year that Virginia basketball didn't make an NCAA tournament. This team not in any danger of that, not in one in the ACC, top 10 in the country. It's a national title contender again this year, no question about that. But it's not because of defense. I mean, again, 25th in the country. There are 357 teams in the country. You're in the top 10%, you're in the top 8% or so, right, of teams nationally in defense. But it's the offense where UVA ranks ninth nationally overall. And you looking inside that, fifth in effective field goal percentage, that takes into account three-pointers, seventh in turnovers, ninth in three-point shooting, 13th in two-point shooting. Really, if they could improve the turnover number even a little bit more, I think they could even be a little higher. Get to the foul line a little bit more would be a little higher too. They're second in the country in free throw shooting. This it's a different team. It's a team that's built on the offensive side. Sam Hauser, Jay Huff, Trey Murphy. You got Hauser shooting 52% from the field, 42.9% from three. Huff, 62.8% from the field, 47.9% from three. Murphy, 11.1 points a game, 50.9% from the field, 47.9% from the, all those guys in double digits, they're the building blocks, but the building blocks being on the offensive side. I pointed out in a column after, you know, the Bennett was asked to address his team's sort of flip-flop in that sense, how things have flipped and this team is more built on its offense and its defense. The team stood out, the team that won the championship 2 years ago stood out because it had two guys defensively, DeAndre Hunter at 6'7", Braxton Key at 6'8", who could guard anybody on the floor, 1-5. And so you could switch on anything. You had flexibility lineup-wise. I remember you would, and this didn't happen just once, it happened many times, you would see Jack Salt, 6'11", center, check in or check out 4'5", Kihei Clark. Because you could easily move Hunter and Key around depending on what the opposing lineup looked like. And so it was what the foundation of that team was yes, it was second in the country in adjusted offense, but defensively that was that was a team that could just, because of that flexibility, then you could use your shooters. You could use your Ty Jerome. You could use your Kyle Guy, DeAndre Hunter as an offensive player. You could use them and move around as you needed to, move your pieces around. This year, there's a similarity in one sense. Tony Bennett has the ability to make the other team adjust to him. But it's because of the offense. Hauser at 6'8", Murphy at 6'9", Huff at 7'1". They can all score from the perimeter. They can all attack the basket with dribble drives. They can all score in the post. Murphy, not quite as much, even at 6'9". His points in the post mainly come on backdoor cuts. Because he's still evolving in that sense. But Hauser and Huff can certainly score in the post. any of them is any one of them would be a tough guy to, you know, to game plan around. And you have all three of them. And is, you know, they're on the floor a lot. Towser's over 30 minutes a game. Murphy's right at 30. Huff, foul trouble issues. He's still around 25 minutes a game. But it's this team stands out because of the flexibility on offense. Now, defensively, yeah, there's issues. The best defenders are the guards, Kihei Clark, Reese Beekman. Kind of reminds you a little bit of 2 years ago when it was Kihei Clark, the freshman, now Beekman, the freshman, who was the defensive stalwart and allowed Ty Jerome to go off ball a little bit and focus on creating differently. Now, you know, Beekman is the guy that can get the tough assignments. Beekman can guard one, two, or three. Clark at 5'9" can really only guard one. He gets caught sometimes in switches, but Beekman can guard. I mean, I say one, two, or three. He can actually guard some fours. Nate Leshefsky, the Notre Dame 6'11" scoring machine, at least the first time these two, the Virginia and Notre Dame teams played, Beekman guarded him a lot the second game and helped hold Leshefsky to 12 points in that game. If Tony was coaching his team the way Tony wants to coach teams, Casey Morsell, 6'4" sophomore, would be on the floor a lot more. He's getting around 18, 19 minutes a game. But Morsell guarding elite scorers at 2 and 3, he's a guy. I mean, he's a tough defender. But Morsell getting is actually, right around 18 minutes a game. And he's better on the offensive end this year, shooting 42.9%. He was 27.7% a year ago. But if, you know, more minutes for him means less minutes for probably Murphy. And so it's been tougher for Morsell to break through because of Murphy's presence on the offensive end. Now, when I broke things down from the defensive standpoint and why this team has gone from number one last year to number 25, Tony addressed this yesterday. The big difference is it's not, you know, Beekman and Morsell, you know, would have played similar roles if Beekman was in the lineup last year. Morsell played a lot of minutes last year, even with his, you know, horrible offensive numbers. He played a lot of minutes because of what he could do defensively. Jay Huff's playing similar amount of minutes. T.A. Clark playing similar amount of minutes. Murphy is pretty much taking the minutes by and large of Thomas Woldetensai, who gets, you know, occasionally he had a 14-point game in the win this past weekend. But for the most part, those minutes are there. The difference is not, I mean, Jay Huff is playing the five. Mami Diakite played the four last year for Virginia. And now the Sam Hauser's playing the four. And, you know, when you look at the counting numbers, you'd say, well, they're pretty similar guys, except Diakite was so much better defensively. Hauser scoring 15.4 a game. Diakite scored 13.7 a game. But from a rating standpoint, Hauser much more efficient. His offensive rating per sportsreference.com is 125.1. Diakite a year ago, 102.6. The difference being defensively, Diakite an 85.2 rating from sportsreference.com. Hauser this season, a defensive rating of 99.2. So there's value there. I mean, when you put those relative values against each other, Hauser is worth just under 26 points per 100 possessions, comparing his offensive rating to his defensive rating, and Diakite worth about 17.5. So, you know, you get more value out of Hauser, but the more value comes on the offensive end, not the defensive end. Tony said yesterday, Mamadi was quick and athletic. We're different this year. Sam, he's a position player. He's smart. He's heady. Jay's long. You know, his issue is, we have to be good with our perimeter guys guarding the ball. Jay is not going to make up for the difference of Mami Diakite. Jay Huff's an elite shot blocker, blocks 2.3 shots per game, but he's not going to be the guy that's going to, he's not going to be able. Mami Diakite could guard on switches. He could guard point guards. He could at least keep up with a point guard enough to, if he got caught that way, to be able to be effective. He could guard perimeter guys if he had to. He could guard the stretch four. Sam Hauser's coming into his own. Hauser had a good defensive game, almost borderline great defensive game in the win against Pitt this past weekend. Justin Champagne, the ACC's leading scorer and rebounder, still had 18 points and 10 rebounds, but he needed 18 shots to get those 18 points. And really, in the second half, Hauser made him shoot. He made him shoot some fadeaways, made him shoot some tough shots in the post. I believe he was 4 for 12 in the second half was Champagne in that loss. And so Sam, you know, it was interesting to see him kind of come into his own in that respect. And so, but, you know, if you don't have the guy and you think about Mamadou Diakite in the context of UVA, recent UVA vintage, I like to use that term. It starts back. I mean, this run of UVA basketball, I mentioned the 2012-2013 team, the last UVA team not to make an NCAA tournament. You look at 2013-2014, the team that won the ACC regular season champion, then the tournament championship, got a number one seed, went to the Sweet 16. You had Akil Mitchell and Darion Atkins. Darion Atkins then, you know, after Mitchell graduated, was the star defensive player the next year. You had Isaiah Wilkins. And I put those guys in a list of fours who played great defense. You know, not even including guys like Jack Salt, who, you know, I'm going to leave some guys out, so I should probably stop doing that now. You know, the guy who just was in there for defense, you know, Akil Mitchell, he was a single digit scorer. He you know, was a tough rebounder. Darion Atkins, same. Isaiah Wilkins, same. You know, maybe Braxton Key kind of fit that role. Key had to score more for last year's team because of the offensive, just general lack of offense from last year's team. But, you know, Key kind of fits in that role too, a four who was primarily in the game for defense. This year, you got a four that's primarily your offensive, I mean, your leading scorer, obviously. And Diakite evolved. Diakite, for 3 years, he was primarily a defensive guy, and he evolved into a scorer last year. Now he's in the NBA on a two-way contract with the Milwaukee Bucks. So this team's different. You can tell that Tony, from, you know, if you read our story on AugustaFreePress.com, you'll see that that he's conflicted. Defense is in his DNA. Here's a quote. Defense is about, you've got to make a decision, you know, every practice, every game, you've got to play with it. It's funny, we talk about with your eyes. You've got to play with your heart. You got to play with your hands, your feet. It requires an all-out effort. Your defense needs to travel. We always say defense travels, and it needs to be as steady as you can. Offenses are getting better. More guys can spread the floor, space. They can shoot. They can do things off the dribble. So there's always a kind of, you want it to be in your DNA as a program that you play defense. And yeah, this year's team plays defense, but it's going to, whatever it does is going to win. This year is going to win with its offense. So go to Augusta Free Press, read more about that. Also broke down the second game. So I mentioned, you know, obviously tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tip, RSN, Regional Sports Networks, that for most folks watching, listening, reading on Augusta Free Press, that will be, you know, in Virginia, at least it means Masson, the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network, at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Wednesday night. Rematch, Virginia won the first one 64-62. We break down, you know, I do a what I call the what UVA fans, UVA basketball fans need to know column. Well, this one, because it's game two of a home and home, we'll call this one what UVA basketball fans need to remember about Georgia Tech. And you know, now we can analyze Georgia Tech from the perspective of not just how they've played against other teams, but also how they played against Virginia. Remember, that game was obviously tight. Georgia Tech led by 9-10 minutes to go. Virginia 16-2 run held off at the end, held off the Yellow Jackets off at the end. You know, breaking it down, the quick and dirty, you can go to our site for the in-depth. When you look at Georgia Tech's numbers on the season, the number one part of their offense is spot-ups, and that's interesting. That's interesting. That's a lot of settling, but 29.7% of their possessions are actually spotted up on 29.5%. In the Virginia game, 18 of 61 possessions. You watch for Jose Alvarado, the point guard, 20 points on 7 of 12 shooting, but he only had one shot attempt and no baskets in the last 10 minutes after making a three that put Georgia Tech up 9. But you watch for him. You watch for Bubba Parham, the former VMI product who transferred to Georgia Tech last year. You watch for Michael DeVoe, a slasher. He'll hit from the perimeter, but he's also a slasher for that team. Transition is big for this team, and it was big in the first half and maybe a little bit into the second half. The Yellow Jackets pushed the pace. Josh Pastner, give him credit. You know, I've never can figure out. We saw Pitt do this the other night. Never figure out why teams want to play Tony Bennett's game. That's Brer Rabbit throw me in the briar patch. I mean, it's you know, Georgia Tech tried to get ahead of Virginia setting up the pack line defense. And in the first half, they were pretty successful. Jordan Escher had 11 points in the first half in transition. He ended up with 19 points. And a lot of that was you know, getting ahead of the defense and created a couple of and ones, hit a couple of threes. Georgia Tech ended up with 18 transition points on the night. But Virginia slowed it down in the second half. Tony Bennett, obviously, one of the adjustments at halftime was getting more ball pressure on Alvarado and Parham. To at least slow the progress of the ball up the court. And Tech just had that one transition bucket in the final 15-57. And that was key for Virginia to be able to win that game. You watch in transition for Usher, Alvarado, DeVoe. Moses Wright is an interesting guy in transition, the 6'9 center on the secondary break, finishing at the rim. He's better at that than he is. The inside game for Georgia Tech is 17.7% of their possessions, but they're not very effective at it. They did score 26 points in the paint against Virginia, officially, but a lot of that was the transition stuff. Wright, when you look at his numbers, he's good at lane cuts, but he's not good at post-ups, doesn't get a lot of stick backs. Pick and rolls was interesting from what I saw and looking at the season numbers versus the Virginia game specific numbers. Georgia Tech only goes pick and roll, either ball handler or on the roll for 13.2% of their usage. But in this game, it was 31.1%, more than double. 19 of the 61 possessions. In fact, it was their leading category for usage, in this game, in that game, that is on January 23rd. And they don't use it a lot because they're not that good at it. Now, Wright, as a finisher on the back end on 30 possessions, he's actually pretty good, 1.233. But Alvarado, as the guy initiating pick and rolls, is his points per possession, according to Synergy, just 0.756. And turnovers are an issue. 15 turnovers and 45 pick and roll ball handler possessions for Alvarado. So that suggests that, I mean, what you saw in the Virginia game, you know, Wright was he had 13 points, but he needed 17 shots to get those, 6 of 17 from the field. You know, Alvarado hitting shots, it was the spot ups, not the pick and rolls, that were the big danger there for Georgia Tech offensively. So, you know, yeah, more if Georgia Tech's going to run pick and rolls, Virginia is pretty much going to say, please go ahead and do so. Defensively, this Georgia Tech team is average. Let's just say, I mean, you know, they're better offensively. They're 36 in the country offensively. Defensively, 89th. That's, you know, it's top 100. But the Synergy ranks Parham and Alvarado as their best defenders. DeVoe close. The guys in the post. Usher's undersized at 4 at 6'7", 213, and Wright to 6'9", 5. They're the weak points. And you actually saw that in the Virginia win. Sam Hauser had 22 points, 9 of 12 shooting. Huff had 18.7, 11 shooting, accounting for 40 of the 64 points. So what I'd expect to see out of this coming up tomorrow night, more ball pressure, earlier ball pressure from Clark and Beekman to keep Alvarado and Parham from getting those quick looks in transition before the defense sets up. Tony Bennett's won a national championship, and I was a Little League coach once. But I would expect to see Beekman with the assignment, at least early on Alvarado. Alvarado was the guy. He had 20 points again. I mentioned 7 of 12 shooting, 4 of 5 from 3. Beekman at 6'3", maybe giving Alvarado at 6 feet tall even a tougher, you know, tougher look, so to speak, versus, you know, having K.A. Clark as the primary at 5'9". On the offensive end, maybe you see a little less mover blocker and more high, 5 high with Huff drawing right out of the lane. So that, you know, can kind of open up the lane for dribble drives and maybe some triangle looks with Hauser in the post, because with Usher, you know, he's got an inch on him and maybe 15, 20 pounds on him, some strength on him, you know, Hauser finishing there. So that game again, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We've got our preview on the website. And we've got the Tony Bennett story also on the website. Please check those out. And, you know, we'll have all the coverage you can imagine tomorrow night after the game. We'll do a live coverage blog where I'll be sharing my thoughts throughout the game. Love to have your interaction during that. But you can also just watch and see what commentary, analysis, stats I throw out there that I think are pertinent and important. And then after the game, you know, Scott German and I will analyze, break down, etc. The Virginia Georgia Tech game. So again, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Wednesday night. That game is on regional sports networks for folks in Virginia. That's Mid-Atlantic Sports Network. And we'll be watching, we'll be covering, and we'll have everything you can imagine and more. Thank you for your time today, listening to our podcast, watching us on Facebook and YouTube, and we'll talk to you again soon.